And whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. There's no reason for anyone that's here today to remain the same when you leave out today. God wants to bring you into a total freedom, a deliverance, even from every besetting sin and from every idol and from every addiction. God wants you free from that. God gives you the grace to be free from that. If you will humble yourself, call upon Him, God has the power, amen, to liberate you. But you've got to give Him the whole offering. Surrender your life, and you'll receive His life. And in His life is freedom. Hallelujah. Amen. No longer a slave to sin or fear, but joy unspeakable. Amen. Good. Thank you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your goodness today. Thank you, Lord. We keep our hand to the plow and we don't look back. There's no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. The Bible says ask. Jesus said ask, right? And you shall receive. And James says you receive not because you ask not. So we need to be coming before the Lord, amen, with our requests and making our requests known, amen, using words. God gave us the ability to speak, amen, just like He speaks. So we need to direct our speech to the Lord and speak out what's in your heart. Speak out what your desire is, what your request is. So if you're asking, He said you'll receive. If you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if He hears you, you know He will answer that prayer. We're going to continue, by the way, every day, Monday through Friday. We're still on our prayer gathering. It's called 5 at 5. Every night at 5 p.m. we're here. I want you to come out and join with us. We're continuing to storm heaven for this nation, amen, for our own lives, amen, for our families, for our communities. God is mighty to save, amen. But in 2 Chronicles 7:14, how many know this one by heart now? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and what? Face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. That's if my people. That would be us. We're standing in the gap. Guys, if we don't pray, who will? We have been given the responsibility, amen, as a priesthood before the Lord, representing Him here in the earth realm, to invoke His divine influence. So we pray and we come together as often as we can to seek the Lord, to seek the Lord for His grace and cry upon, call out to Him for mercy. Because God is just. And we deserve His judgment, but God is also merciful. And if we, as His people, will humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, then Israel hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today's message is titled, Stewarding the Gift of God. Managing the gift of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for your help. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. We are not the source of God's gifts, but we are the stewards or the managers of those gifts that He's invested in us. Stewardship is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. So a steward is a manager of someone else's property or business, not the owner of it. I've been in management positions several times in my life, and I was there to represent the interests of the company that I worked for. And I did not own the company. And I know I hear some people say, in my store, but they don't actually own the store. If they're managing the store, amen, they've been entrusted with a stewardship to be responsible for, all right, the owner and what his desires are for that store. So we say, I'm here to serve the interests of Walmart or whatever it might be, as a manager of someone else's property. And given that responsibility means that there will be an accountability as well as to how well I manage the affairs of the one that's entrusted these abilities to me. And so a steward oversees basically what belongs to someone else. All right? So when God gives you a gift, you, somebody say you, are then responsible to do with it what He expects you to do with it. Some people are sitting around waiting forever for God to do something when God has given you the responsibility to use what He's already given you. Because He's given you a stewardship. And so He's not going to do the work for you. Isn't that right? But He will work with us. And we are responsible to use our gift wisely according to His will. In John 15:4, remember this, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now, sometimes people use that last part as an excuse to do nothing. Okay? But what he's saying here is, I've given you, okay, my presence. I'm with you. I've empowered you. I've invested in you my grace. Okay? And without my grace, you cannot do anything. However, with my grace, you can do all things. You can do exactly what I've called you to do. So Jesus was saying, right, without His grace we can do nothing, but it is by His grace that we are able to effectively use the gift of God. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the Apostle Paul considered himself a servant, amen, and a steward, a manager of the gift of God. And so his responsibility was to share with others the revelation, the truth that God revealed to him. He was to take that truth and share it with others. All right. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. A steward, again, is an overseer or an employee. Amen. We're under his management, but we are to represent the interests of the one who's employed us, if you will. So Paul realized that as a steward of the gift of God, he was going to give an account one day to God as to what he did with his gift. So, again, a manager or a steward carries the authority to manage what has been entrusted to him or her. So God gives us an authorization, if the authority, all right, to work the gift that He's invested in us. But my responsibility is to be faithful to use what He's given me. How many have heard the term use it or lose it? Actually, Jesus said that. I'm paraphrasing what He said. And we're going to get into that. So, the Great Commission was to go into all the world, right? Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and preach the gospel. All right? That is a responsibility. He has authorized us, all right, to go into all the world. In Matthew 25, 14, Jesus spoke this parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also." Verse 18, "But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money." So this parable is teaching us that when the Lord returns, there will be true and false servants. Stewards in this parable were to use the money that God entrusted to them to bring an income to the master or a return on his investment. So the man with the 5 earned another 5. The man with the 2, he doubled, right? But the man with the 1 went and dug a hole, it says, and buried it. So Jesus, of course, is the master in this parable. He's returned to heaven, and what has he done? He has given gifts unto men. He's given gifts to his people, right? And he expects us to use them wisely. And Jesus knows what each steward is capable of doing. All right? And each one is given responsibility according to their individual abilities. Any abilities we have are God-given. So God does not expect us to be someone He has not called us to be. Sometimes we try to do that. Or to try and do what we are not gifted to do. But we do need to be faithful in what He has entrusted to us, because each one of us has received at least a gift. Can you say amen to that? Amen. God does not expect us to be someone He hasn't called us to be. All right, but He wants us to be faithful stewards over what He's entrusted to us. So when Jesus returns from heaven, the day is coming when all of His servants, all of His managers, all of His stewards are going to give an account. In Matthew 25, verse 19, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Verse 22, he also who had received the 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.' In verse 23, his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Verse 24, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid.'" He said, "I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "Well, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back mine own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Use it or lose it." The test of each one's service was not how much they earned, but how faithful they were as a steward. In 1 Peter 4:7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." You know, there has been an attitude for years in some church circles that the pastor is supposed to be doing everything, and that we just sit and listen and learn and then come back the next week and learn more and more and more and more. But the bottom line is the pastor is to equip, all right, and for the work of the ministry, that we would be about our Father's business. And whatever God gives me, I will give out. But then what we receive, we're responsible as a steward over the gift, all right, of God. The gift belongs to God. And He gives it to us, if you will, to use for His glory. So God desires, this is God's heart. He desires that each one of us has an abundant welcome into His kingdom. 2 Peter 1:10, "So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away." If you live for the purpose of God, live, amen, for the will of God, you'll never fall away. Live positively. It's not a matter of, well, what aren't I doing? It's what, you know, I should be doing. And then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A grand entrance. Why? Because you've been a faithful steward over what He's entrusted to you. You did not receive the grace of God in vain. So Jesus was quite upset, obviously, with His third steward. Because what He had is nothing but insults, really, and excuses for the master. In fact, He even accused him of being hard and unreasonable. You know, I have found that the Lord's yoke is easy and His burden is light. He's not hard and unreasonable. I find that Satan is a hard taskmaster. In verse 24, "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed.'" Again, verse 25, "And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." So he tried to excuse himself on the basis that he was paralyzed with fear. And so he buried his talent, but there was no excuse. How many know 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And then he goes on to say in verse 8, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner." But this is Paul speaking to Timothy. "But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." So Paul also exhorted Timothy to remember to stir up the gift of God within him, right? 2 Timothy 1:6, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." In other words, you can have a gift, but it can remain dormant in you unless you do something with it. God doesn't do it for you. God calls us to partner with Him and do it together with Him. Amen? And He expects us to be faithful over that which He's entrusted to us as a faithful manager to the owner. Amen? It all comes from Him. Amen? And Jesus deserves the glory. He deserves to receive a return on everything that He's done for us. Amen? For His sacrifice on the cross on our behalf. Hallelujah. For delivering us out of darkness and bringing us into His glorious light. Hallelujah. He deserves a return. Amen? We should live the rest of our lives loving God back. And out of appreciation for everything He's done, out of gratitude, to offer our bodies back to Him as a living sacrifice and say, "Lord, where can I serve You? What is the gift that You've given me? And I'll look for opportunities. Open the doors for me, Lord, and I'll walk through them." Amen? How many know that God gives you an opportunity to use your gift? But we cannot operate in fear because fear is a paralyzer, and fear will keep people from doing what they're called to do by God. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. We have to claim that, amen, that it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to do what we do. For you shall receive power, Acts 1:8, right? After that which the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. What happens is He empowers us and gives us supernatural boldness so that we're not afraid of people, amen? But we will fear the Lord. And we will love people enough to tell them the truth. We need to love people enough to tell them the truth. We need to love our children enough to tell them the truth. So Jesus rebuked this third steward as being wicked, he said, and lazy. In a sense, again, this man was blaming the Lord for his own poor stewardship. He's kind of like saying it's your fault because you're hard, you know, and you're reaping what you didn't sow. Well, yes, he did sow. He made the investment in us, hasn't he? He was without excuse because he knew what the master expected of him. In verse 26, his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew what I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Hallelujah. See, listen, guys, if this man had earned 1 talent with his talent, he would have received the same commendation as the others. Instead, he gained nothing with his gift. If God gives you a gift, it means it's something precious to Him. And it should be precious to us. We should desire the gifts of God. We should earnestly covet, the Bible says, right? The gifts of God. Why? Because they are beneficial for others. We're to walk in love. When we walk in love, we want to help others. We want to serve others. We want to bless others. Amen? We want to see others saved. We want to see others healed. We want to see others delivered. When we walk in love, we're not considering ourselves. We're considering them. When Jesus walked this earth, He didn't come with His own agenda. He gave Himself away for us. He didn't come to serve Himself. He said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve." And so God has authorized us now to go. And He's made an investment in each one of His people to go with their gift, amen, and invest that gift in the hearts of humanity. God calls us to partner with Him, to walk and do life together with Him, amen, that we might bring a return to Him because He deserves it. So this man had earned 1 talent, and yet he did nothing with it. And as a result, what happened is he lost it. The talent was taken and given to the man with 10 talents. And this follows really a fixed law in the spiritual realm. Think about this in verse 29. For to everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. So let me give you an example. If you don't use your hand, atrophy will set in. Eventually, your hand's going to wither and die. And you could lose your hand. Isn't that right? So we have to use, all right, what we have. Because as we're using, amen, what we have, we're gaining. We're progressing. We're bearing fruit. But if we refuse to use what God has given us, you can lose it. That's true. If a person neglects their own physical body, all right, you can become sick, weak. So it is, we need to be exercising in the Spirit. We need to be about our Father's business, taking what He's invested in us and sowing it. How many know that your labor in the Lord is never in vain? He wants to give you an abundant welcome into His presence. Amen. He wants to share His kingdom with you. And He wants to give you a reward. Amen. When you get to heaven and hear the Lord say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. We are given a stewardship. He has invested in us. We need to say, Lord, I want to give back to you. How can I love you back the rest of my life with what you've invested in me? Hallelujah. And what a joy it is to know that you're in the plan of God. You're walking out the will of God for you. And you're living, amen, for his glory as you represent him. Amen. We're not here to represent us. Amen. And the gift that I have, amen, is on loan from him. And I am given a stewardship. I am to manage well what God has invested in me. And the day will come when Jesus will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. It's not too late. Time to get back in. Amen. And say, okay, Lord, I don't want to sit on my behind any longer. I want to be about your business. I want to be faithful to what you've entrusted to me. Hallelujah. You see, some people think, well, one of these days God has a plan for me. I don't know what it is, but one of these days I'll find out what it is. How many know that if you ask, you'll receive? If you seek, you'll find. You know, a good way to kind of discover who you are in Christ and the gifting of God is sometimes even to go back to the beginning. You remember, was it Ephesus? Go back and do the first works. Go back to the beginning and ask the question, where is my passion? What am I good at? What can I do for God? If money was not an issue, what would I do for God? Amen. How many of you know money is not an issue? And say, well, what is that? What is my passion? God has invested in us. You know, he works in us, doesn't he? Both to will and to do. But we have to put legs to it. We have to do something in partnership with him in order for that gift to bear fruit. Amen? Think about, what can I do? Some people have the gift of a servant. They just love to serve others. That's a spiritual gift. Amen. Some people have a gift of mercy. Amen. They're always looking for a way to console and to help somebody that's hurting. They have a heart for people that are hurting. Some people, right, they have a gift of giving. They just love to give, give, give. Amen. There's so many gifts that God has given to us, to the church, that he wants us to use. He's given people the gift to teach. Teach well. Amen. If it's leadership, be the best leader you can be. Amen. But do something with what God has given to you. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. Those things that make you come alive. When you do these things that you're passionate about and you know you can do, and after you do it, it just makes you come alive. Why? Because you know that's the gift of God in you. That's what God has placed within you. And all of us have received a gift. At least a gift, right? So let's be faithful. Romans 12:8, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. If you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Amen? And 1 Peter 4:10, once again, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards, managers of the manifold grace of God. Hallelujah. And I finish with this, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We will give an account someday. Amen. But I find that if I draw near to God and my heart is filled with the love of God, it's not something that I have to do. It's something that I want to do because I'm in love with Jesus and I want to bless the Lord. Are you hearing me? Because I know his heart is good. Hallelujah. He's not a hard taskmaster. His yoke is easy. Amen. And his burden is light. And it is a joy to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. So ask the Lord. Seek, amen, and find out what it is that God has called you to do. And if we all would join together, amen, as his people and work together, hallelujah, amen, and advancing God's agenda, his kingdom business in the world. Amen. We'll get the job done. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. How many know that we are are ambassadors, right? As well, representing His interests. Hallelujah. So let's discover what God has called us to be, God has called us to do. You can use your gift wherever you find yourself, on the job. Amen. In Walmart. Praise God. Right, Maria? No, I shouldn't. You can use your gift, praise God, in your family, in your church, amen. Look for the opportunities, hallelujah. Do you know there's some low-hanging fruit, amen? There are some opportunities out there, hallelujah. Let's look for it, praise God. There's a nursing home over here, amen. There's several of them, amen. Some of those folks could use a visit, amen. Maybe somebody could go out there and start a Bible study, or we used to go out there and sing, right? What I'm saying is look for the opportunity that is there for you to say, okay, I have this. I can use this. I'm just going to invest here. Look for an opportunity to pray. That's something we can all do. We can sow in the Spirit by praying, interceding for others. Amen. God cherishes that. Amen. Why? Because He's given us the authorization to invoke His influence, but it's not going to happen until we agree with heaven. So we need to pray. As we do that, amen, then He releases His grace, even for those who are lost. Praise God. How many believe somebody prayed for you? How many believe somebody stood up and spoke to you the gospel? Amen? Thank God somebody was willing to take what God gave them and share it with me. I would never know if it wasn't for somebody willing to use the gift of God to invest and speak into my life. And that's how it works. All of us have something. If the church in America would just get back to their first love again, draw near to God and let your heart be filled with His love, and you will just be an expression of His love. It's not something hard like this man thought. It's something that's delightful. It's something that we get to do. Hallelujah. I hope today that something has been stirred in your heart to once again rediscover what it is that God has called you to be and to do for Him, and that we will find ourselves faithful stewards. I preached to myself this morning as well. I asked the question, am I doing everything I can do and everything I should do for the Lord? I can't be anybody I'm not, but I need to be who I am in Him. And be faithful over what He's entrusted to me. And that's true for all of us. Amen? Amen. Father God, thank You so much for Your word, Lord, for allowing us to be a partner with You in this world. Lord, we know the end of all things will come. And Lord, You've given us a stewardship, a responsibility. You've given us gifts, Lord, to use. And I pray, Father, for an awakening in our hearts, Lord God, that You will reveal to us what it is that You've called us to be and to do for You. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord God, that we will all find ourselves in that day, Lord, full of joy as we see You in that day and as we see You smile and say, I know who You are. You've been faithful. Enter into the joy of the Lord. We want to see You and we want to bless You. We want to put a smile on Your face, Lord. We want to love You as we love others, Lord. We know that's what pleases You. You called us to love, to serve. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I surrender. Present your bodies to Him right now. Say, Lord, I give You my body. I give You my soul. I give it all to You. Use me, Lord, for Your glory. You deserve it. I want to bring You pleasure. You deserve it. Thank You, Lord. I love You, Jesus. Thank You for saving me. Hallelujah.